The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say shot, no shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Every day at 8 o'clock, we give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by the fine folks over at
Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. You want to play the ponies? Download that Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. You want to play the other sports gambling? Download the updated Points Bet Sportsbook app that Carm and I both love to use, and you get the live in-game, same-game parlays. You can get the lightning bets, all the prop bets. It's a lot of fun. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we? Hoodie, Cap.
Good.
We're fine after the shift change for me, pal. I mean, mornings, afternoon, mornings. Okay.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah, very quick turnaround. I mean, they don't care about me. But you know what, though, Cap, as I always say? You know, I always say this. Don't worry about the mule. Just load the wagon.
That's it. Well said, man.
That's right. Mornings, afternoons, mornings. Shay, I represented our show well with Sylvie yesterday.
I thought so. Certainly.
I represented our show very well.
You noticed Sylvie tried to hide that you were there, too. Oh, I want to get to your Bears calls. You had to remind them I'm here, too.
Wow.
I gave a little flavor, man. I gave a little Cap and J-Hood flavor. It's like, hey, man, I'm here, too. Don't be so selfish, right? That's how it works. We had fun yesterday. Lashana Tova to him. Right?
That's it. Happy New Year, Sylvie.
That's exactly right. Because he was all bottled up because he was off, and so he's bottled up with Bears angst.
Allie not on the program?
I don't know what's happening at home. I don't know. We turn over now to Shane Dorling.
Come on. Allie, you're better than that.
Wait a minute.
Take care of the man. I'm just repeating what you said. You said he's bottled up.
He was bottled
up. Got a beautiful wife.
He had information he wanted to get out because he didn't have his Bears Monday.
I took it the other way.
Of course you did.
Getting any action.
You know why? Because you're a dirty old man. That's why.
To be fair to Kaplan, I took it that way as well.
Thank you.
I was like, oh, that's why he was so energetic. He had to get some stuff out.
All right, get at it, Snor.
All right, let's get to Shot or No Shot, boys. According to Pro Football Reference, Justin Fields' 297 passing yards through three games is the lowest by any NFL starter since the merger. It's the lowest total for any quarterback who started and finished three games since 1975. The Bears will play the Giants this weekend. The Giants rank 25th in pass defense by DVOA. So my question, shot or no shot, win or lose, the Bears need to let Fields sling it against the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, shot. What was the number I gave you last week? I said I like to see it in the air 22 times.
Right. What does sling it mean?
What's the number?
25 plus attempts.
No shot.
Okay.
No shot.
You don't go into a game going, you look, it's Matt. Yeah, what's up, coach? I want you to sling it this weekend. If the defense is set where you go, hey, we can make some plays in the passing game, then throw the football.
Yeah.
If more likely it's not going to be where you're going to be successful, no, you don't just sling it to sling it. Well, we tried. We threw 37 passes. Got the ever-living H beaten out of us, but because that, you know what that is? That's the Nagy game plan from Cleveland last year.
Mm-hmm.
Our five against their five. Oh, our 40-year-old left tackle didn't work against Myles Garrett. But I'm shocked. You're shocked.
Who cares? The Giants don't have Myles Garrett. My point to you is this:
NFL players.
So are the Bears' offensive linemen. But you say they're no talent. My point is the Giants don't have an elite pass rusher. The Giants don't have a guy who's going to break your game in the backfield. They're one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. They're also one of the worst rush defenses. I think you learn a lot less if you go out and just hammer the ball on the Giants than if you go out and say, "Hey, Justin, let's throw it 30 times."
Again, if Luke Getsy and Flus and Andrew Janoco, the quarterback coach, if they watch all the tape, they prepare their team and they go, the best way to win is to run the ball, then they got to run the ball. If they say, you know what, we can make plays in the passing game, let's take some shots, then take some shots. But you don't do it just to do it.
I just want Darnell Mooney and Kmet and others to be able to feel like they're part of the offense and not just running routes, not just exercising. I want them to be able to actually be part of the offense.
Correct.
I said 22. I'll hold it at 20. 25, no shot. But I think that you could run the football effectively and be able to get the ball in the air just to keep the defense honest. I mean, you want these safeties to keep creeping up in the box cap? You want them to just keep on like another step and another step? They're like, oh, you know, all they're going to do is run it. Let's just make sure we protect the run. I want them to feel, the defense to feel like, hey, this guy at any moment can be able to get it down the field. So no shot to that, but I want it to be at least 20 to 22 times. Shay.
All right, Lonzo Ball has not ruled out that he could miss the entire 2022-23 season. He said yesterday publicly that he's struggling to run or jump and commented on the pain he feels every day.
No, it's every day. Even, you know, going upstairs and stuff, you know, it's still painful. So, like I said, it's definitely something I've never dealt with. Even the doctors are a little, you know, surprised about it a little bit. But we're all working together to figure this thing out.
All right, shot or no shot. If Lonzo misses the entire season, the Bulls are a play-in team.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
So The question is, why did you wait this long? I asked that question to Billy yesterday. We have that audio. We'll play it during the show.
Why?
Because.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's got issues, and on the MRI, from what I'm being told, the MRI's not showing the damage. They're looking at it, and they can't figure out why he's still having this type of pain. I was told for 3 or 4 days in August, it started to feel a little bit better, and then as soon as he tried to ramp it up again, the next day, oh boy, it's hurting. So there's something going on in there. So they're going to go in and do what's called a debridement, where they clean up the debris in the knee if there's any there. They do it arthroscopically. It's not like he's going to get filleted open, and we'll see in 2 years when this thing heals. No. But God forbid they find something in there. That's the big concern.
So shot or no shot? Playing game?
I still say no shot. There's enough talent there with Dragic being here, Caruso, Ayo Dosunmu. You got enough at guard. Yeah, it's not as good as Lonzo Ball, especially defensively, but this should not be a play-in team.
So, Shay, can I just tell you this? If the Bulls can't get into the playoffs 1-6, without Lonzo Ball, then you have bigger problems.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if Lonzo Ball is a reason why you can't be 1-6, then the team is actually in trouble.
When I interviewed Zach the other day, he talked about how crucial or vital. What was the word he used? Shea has to cut, I think. How vital Vucevic is to that team's success.
Mm-hmm.
Vucevic got to show that then.
Well, I think that's what Hoodie's saying, is last year Lonzo was your best three-point shooter. He was your elite kind of perimeter defender.
No, he was not. I don't think he was your best. I think he was your best.
Your best perimeter defender.
He was definitely your best perimeter point guard defender, on-ball defender.
He became a 40% three-point shooter on 7 attempts. But yeah. The point, Hoodie, I think you're making is, if nobody else can step up and do that, then you are in trouble. Like, somebody else needs to be able to come out and hit 3 of 7 threes.
Yeah, my point is that the team is not tied to his perimeter defense or his three-point shooting. You have better than that. My biggest question, I'll ask you this a lot this season, can DeMar DeRozan replicate what he did last year?
No.
Well, that's tough.
But you're talking about a guy who should have been first-team All-NBA and he was second. Do I think he can be a really, really good player? Yes. He's DeMar DeRozan. Second-team All-NBA... That's a big ask.
Then there's problems there, because whether it's the Heat, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, whether it's Brooklyn,
Toronto,
they're tricky. Atlanta, okay, Cleveland. Each one of those teams, I can give you a 1-2 punch, 1-2-3 punch. Bulls,
Zach and DeMar. That's a really good twosome.
All I'm saying,
does DeMar have to be top 10 players in the league? That's what he was last year.
That would help.
Yeah. I still think he's going to be a really, really good player.
But you know what I'm saying, Cap? It can't be LaVine and then the fall off. It's got to be three strong, because this is the way the league's built now. Three guys you can depend on every night.
Agreed.
So, and this is no shot at Vucevic either, because he could shoot the ball better from three. Yes, I still like him, though. I like him in this offense, the versatility of a big guy that can step out, knock down a three, get putbacks, get rebounds. He could do all those things, right? But it's important for the Bulls to be able to establish their number 1-2-3 punch, just like the rest of the East.
That's why when Coach Donovan was on the station with us yesterday and he talked about Patrick Williams and everything he's gone through from the COVID year where it impacted everybody and his development, and he's 19 years old. I think he came in at 18, didn't have a NCAA tournament or a postseason tournament his freshman year at Florida State. Now he's in the NBA. Then last year they feel pretty good coming out of camp. He's out 5 months with a broken wrist.
Patrick Williams, man. He's going to be something.
He's got a ton of ability. That's why they didn't trade him.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about Aaron Judge, who is stuck on 60. Judge has gone 7 consecutive games without a home run, and in those 7 games, he's been walked 13 times, including an intentional walk that loaded the bases against Toronto, and last night, 4 consecutive walks after a line out in the first inning. Shot or no shot, it's wrong that teams are not pitching to Judge.
Is this a freaking carnival? Are you being serious with that question?
Yeah, it's a question. I'm not offering an opinion. I'm asking you a question.
The question is your opinion. I know where you how your mind works. No, it's not wrong. They don't get up and go, guys, let's help Judge get to 61 tonight. slider. No, don't throw him a breaking ball. Give him a fastball right down the middle. No.
Shay wants the Blue Jays to groove one so we can get this over with.
Well, no, not the Blue. Yeah, seriously. Stop butting into my Clemson Wake game. Jesus Christ. No, I want. See, my thing is like the Blue Jays, I get it. They're fighting for playoff position. The Red Sox probably don't want to be on the wrong end of the Judge record.
Yes.
But you're out of the playoffs. You've been out for a while. Walking this guy 4 straight times just so he can't get the record? Come on.
Well, you're not supposed to give the opposition a break. What is this now?
And are they all intentional walks?
I'm not saying flip a slider over the middle. No, one of them. But if you watch them, they're unintentional, intentional walks.
Right. I'm not letting Aaron Judge wreck a baseball game against my team. Sorry.
Record, no record. I'm not going to let that guy beat me. Sorry. We're not going to do him any favors.
What do you mean you threw a pitch where he could get a hit with the no-hitter going on, or you walked a guy? No, I don't want you to throw a no-hitter against me. I remember getting into a screaming match with Bob Brenly. It was like a 5-0 in the 8th or 9th, mm-hmm. and the Diamondbacks, shilling, the Jackass, had a no-hitter going.
Uh-huh.
And somebody laid a bunt down and beat it out, and he was furious. The guy's going for history. Stop. I don't want you to get a no-hitter against me. No.
They should just realize ESPN is interrupting national football games to play Aaron Judge at bats. Just get him some underhand tosses. Nobody, let's finish this up. Nobody wants to watch this.
Nobody cares about some of your football games.
He wants him to groove it like Al Downing did to Hank Aaron.
Right. Here you go.
Al Downing right over the middle of the plate.
Cap, Clemson-Wake was a top 25 matchup. It's 35 all. They're cutting Aaron Judge in and pulling the sound away from the football game in the middle of a 2-point conversion.
It's Clemson-Wake in September.
Hell of a game, though.
It was a hell of a game.
It's a top 25 matchup. It's a rivalry.
And I had Wake on the money line in a parlay. Thanks, Wake. And I had Clemson or Wake plus like 10.5. Yeah, it's a good game. Relax. Aaron Judge is way bigger than Clemson Wake.
Oh, I don't agree at all. I'm going to put that on the poll, actually.
Please, at ESPN 1000. Let us get to around the NFL. Can we do that next?
Let's
go around some of the storylines around the National Football League. It's still
Aaron
to come.
Judge
some thoughts
snoring.
About the Bulls. As Billy Donovan was on the station yesterday with Cap and Waddle, we'll talk about that as well. As we move forward here on this Wednesday morning in Harmony, Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to
go around the National Football League here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come with thoughts about the Bulls and their future here this hour. But let's go to Shay Norling with the latest around the NFL.
I want to start big picture with some of what we saw in week three. If you go around the league, a lot of the scoring was really low. Most of the games went under their totals. Bears-Texans 23-20, Colts-Chiefs 20-17, and then the primetime games, dear Lord. Broncos-49ers 11-10, Cowboys-Giants was 6-3.5. This, to me, was one of the worst weekends of offense that I've watched in a long time in the NFL, especially Packers-Bucks 14-12.
So is the trend your friend, my friend, or do you believe that is just a one-off? What do you think? Is our offense is going to just stay low?
No shot.
Okay, just a one-off?
This weekend was a one-off.
Okay.
There's too many talented teams that got really good. Like, I think San Francisco's just they're okay. They're not amazing, and I don't think Jimmy's a great quarterback. I wouldn't want him. But you have bad Chicago and some of the others that are out there at the bottom, the dregs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Raiders will be better than they've showed. I think you got to get the Chargers healthy. They'll be better than they've showed. Denver will be better than they've showed. They got some weapons, and they got Russell Wilson. So I think you'll see better. And I think the elite of the elite, once they get a few more games under their belt, the Chiefs, the Dolphins offense, they'll be really good.
Just a side note for you, Shay. If I was betting, I would have bet the over in, say, the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. I would have bet the over in the Colts and Kansas City. Matchups like that, including Tampa and Green Bay. So those are surprisingly low.
I agree. I mean, when you look at the way that offense is being played, especially, and you mentioned Tampa Green Bay, that's one where people looked at the number. It was 42. I bet the under, but people looked at it and go, Rodgers and Brady, this is going to be a light show. And it turns out both those offenses might just not be very good.
49ers have to be frustrated, right? You lose against the Bears. I know it's Trey Lance's first game, just, you know. And then the game against Denver, just they got to be like, okay, what's going on here? We're destined for greatness, and we're starting off flat.
Do you know that Kyle Shanahan, I know he's the wizard of all things coaching.
Oh, just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
He's a great play caller. Do you know he's never taken a team to the playoffs back-to-back seasons? I just thought that he was the wizard, and John Lynch is this brilliant guy. And
Cap, did you also see the lip reading going around about Jimmy Garoppolo coming off the field? It looks like he's saying into the helmet, all your plays suck.
Oh.
Take that.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, again.
Well, Jimmy's got a better idea.
Wait, I don't know. You know? That's just a fact that every year now they've been picked, and he can't get them to the playoffs back-to-back years. We'll see.
All right, Shay, what else?
All right, before we get to our week three overreactions, I want to ask about the AFC West. This may have been a preseason overreaction that everyone had. We said it would be maybe a historically great division, one of the best divisions in the history of football. So far, not so much. The Chargers got killed at home by the Jags. The Broncos won but scored 11 points at home against the Niners. The Raiders are 0-3, and the Chiefs dropped the ball in Indianapolis. The division really doesn't look that good.
What do you think?
Go ahead.
What do you think? I don't have the standings in front of me. What's the number one team in that division? With the one loss record?
Sorry, Charlie was asking me a question. The top of the division is 2-1 with the Chiefs. And the Broncos are also 2-1.
You got so many injuries all over football. Guy after like Rashawn Slater, their stud left tackle.
Yes.
Done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Tore his pec.
Yeah.
His bicep. He's done for the year. Justin Herbert's playing with torn rib cartilage and broken rib. Like, the Raiders are terrible right now.
Right now. But you know what, Shay? Something tells me, especially if Herbert gets healthy, it can be a two-horse race between the Chargers and the Chiefs. It'll work itself out. At this point, a little ugly, but I think it can work itself out. Two-team race.
Yeah, I feel like the Chargers are the team of all of them that you would expect to really cream rises. They have the best defense on paper. Mm-hmm. If Joey Bosa can be healthy, Justin Herbert's incredible. If he can be healthy, if they can get Keenan Allen back. But right now...
Yeah, but their left tackle's done for the year. I mean, yeah, they got issues, man.
Everybody's got issues. Like, that's what I'm saying. On paper, you expect it. The Broncos' offense looks just absolutely broken. So I don't feel like they're going to stick around, even though they're at 2-1 right now. Maybe it just gets better, but it really looks like the Chiefs and everyone else, if you're just looking at that division right now.
What about Let's Ride? The Broncos.
You know what? Jimmy Garoppolo.
Their coach looks like he's like way in over his head.
Mr. Unlimited.
And Jimmy Garoppolo belongs in prison, letting Russ run around doing that Let's Ride after a Monday Night Football game. His offense scored 11 points.
But when you need help, though, Cap, when you're a head coach and you need help early in the season, bringing in an old coach to sit in a box and watch your situation, that's tough.
I actually like that they brought in, what's that guy's name?
He's an old-timer.
Jerry Wainwright,
I think. It's Wainwright.
Not Jerry Wainwright.
With the white shoes.
Jerry Rosberg.
Rosberg.
Yeah.
Rosberg.
See?
Jerry Rosberg is an expert at clock management and analytics.
Yeah.
Until last year, Belichick had the guy who had a direct headset to Belichick only. And he would tell him, Bill, take a timeout. Bill, do not take a timeout. Bill, go for it. Bill, go for two. And Belichick listened to everything that dude said.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. He is essential to their success, and I like that the Broncos did that.
All right, Shay.
All right, very quickly, let's get our biggest Week 3 overreactions to the things we've seen in the NFL.
Doug Peterson is Coach of the Year. They got the best differential in the AFC at plus 46. Amazing. You change the head coach, Trevor Lawrence. He looks the part. I mean, he looks like a movie star. And he is going to lead that Jaguars team to the playoffs. How about that? 2-1.
I would like to thank Charlie Bevins. He gave out Jacksonville on the air to win the division. I got him at plus 280. I made a substantial wager based on my guy Charlie. I'm all in. I got the Jags to the playoffs.
I have Doug Peterson as Coach of the Year.
Charlie absolutely deserves his flowers. I'm going to go with the take that historically gets you murdered at the end of the season. That Tom Brady guy, he ain't so good anymore. You watch these games, that offense is a three-and-out machine. I know I'm maybe not going out on a ledge here. The 45-year-old man can't play football anymore, but that arm looks dead. He doesn't have the same zip on the ball as he used to. I know he has none of his receivers, but his offensive line's no good. He just doesn't look like that guy that can come out and make an offense run on all cylinders by himself anymore.
Hey, Sparky, stop.
He's 46.
Sparky, he had none of his top four receivers.
Cap, he ain't the same guy. You know, this is a guy who won a Super Bowl throwing to Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Martellus Bennett, and Danny Amendola.
Well, he didn't have guys on the field Sunday as good as that. His center is out for maybe the year. His offensive line is banged up.
You know
Come
what?
On.
He's Listen. Also sleeping on the couch. It's the first season where he hasn't been fully laser-focused on football.
He's a little bottled up now. I like Sylvie.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Man, he doesn't look right. He doesn't seem as committed as he has been in the past. He's doing all these commercials, all these TikToks.
Shay, you know what? I'm not. I don't take offense. He is old. It was said at some point the wheels are going to start coming off. All right, Charlie.
If you are a Philadelphia Eagles fan, get your tickets to Arizona now because that team is going to the Super Bowl. They are so freaking good right now. They're playing so well. The NFC is wide open. I don't know who, like, I would prefer them over Green Bay. I would prefer them over Tampa Bay right now, especially if Tampa Bay can't get healthy. Give me the Eagles as the runaway favorites in the NFC.
Cap.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign on with Charlie on that one. I gave him his flowers on the Jacksonville pick. I'm going to give you an overreaction. After watching three games, the Bears will be lucky to win two more.
What are you saying there?
That they're a bad football team. And that Brother Poles, Ryan Poles, our guy, you called him that on the show, that Ryan Poles came home and went, son of a... Two wins already! I don't need this! Because he wants to pick at the top of the draft.
Wow, that's pretty strong. They won't win two more games. What's going to happen to this show?
No, I said didn't.
You'd be lucky to win two more games.
Lucky to win two more games.
Man. Meller had them 6-1 with the schedule luck they've gotten. They're going to catch the Patriots starting the dead body of Brian Hoyer. They're going to win two more games.
Okay. Wow. Right, we'll see.
Let's talk some baseball next.
I just need the under 6.5.
Hey!
Take that.
Okay.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Bear Down podcast with Black and Abdallah. If you need more Bears content, go right there. ESPN Chicago app, look for the Bear Down podcast. Glad to have you in today with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, we'll talk about the Bulls because the season's right around the corner, but we thought we'd slide in a little baseball as well. You say, oh, Captain Jay Hood, nothing's going on with our teams. No, there's always storylines, just no postseason baseball. That sucks, Cap. That sucks. We were supposed to have some sort of postseason baseball on this station on the home of the White Sox, and now we're not going to get it.
Not gonna happen, and that team has flat out quit. They battled on Tuesday a week ago against the Guardians. Lost in extras, 11-7. Wheels came off in extra innings. Haven't won since.
Because you know what? They folded the tent.
Hey, welcome into the recap of the White Sox 7th straight loss.
Yep.
This one, 14 strike. Dude, do you know what the over-under on Bailey Ober strikeouts was last night on points bet? 3.5.
Oh, man.
I bet it. He struck out 10. They struck out 14 White Sox hitters. They got 2 GD hits. A double from Moncada, and then a single from A.J. Pollock to left field. That's it.
See, when you fold the tent like that, it's a rudderless ship. And we understand that Tony's away from the team. We understand that. But it's more than Tony, Cap. It's just the lack of pride now. Now that you know you're out of it, now you're just going to keep swinging out of your ass. You're not going to give a damn on at-bats. You're taking on quality opponents. And, you know, I know that Sox fans are sore at the Guardians for, you know, chanting about them, you know, F the Sox. What's that? You got that sound bite, Charlie? With the locker room celebration.
The Guardians.
Yeah, the Guardians going after the White Sox. I mean, seriously, rightfully so. I did not take offense to that because, you know what? The Sox did not measure up against the Guardians.
The White Sox!
Let's go, let's go!
I did not take offense to that, Shay, because, you know what? The Sox could not measure up. They were not good enough.
But you know what else they did? They chanted, "Fire Tony." Did you take offense to that?
No, did not.
Fire Tony! Fire
Because they're making fun of us, White Sox fans.
Of the fan base.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, they earned it, man. To the victor go the spoils.
Not offended. Not offended.
Did you see the Guardians official Twitter? They said, quote, "We keep receipts," and they have all the Chicago fans and media that did their preseason predictions. And it had every one of them. White Sox win the division with 90-some wins. And there's the Guardians, 3rd, 5th, 4th. None of them had them in first place. And they said, "We keep receipts." And then they were laughing and mocking.
No problem.
Have at it. You deserve it.
No problem. I'm not offended. The only thing I will say to that, I'm not offended, Cap, because the Sox underachieved, grossly underachieved this year. But the only thing I'll say to that is too bad that nobody in your city cares about your team because it's a Browns town. Take that. How about that? Turn on ESPN Cleveland. How much Guardians talk are you getting there? So don't. You can say whatever you want in your locker room and diss Sox fans. There's no problem. It's too bad nobody cares about your team unless you get to the World Series.
Correct.
That's how it works in Cleveland.
Correct.
What's the number one topic in Cleveland? The Browns. 2, 3, 4 through 10, the Browns.
Correct.
And the Guardians are somewhere down in the bottom there. So,
that is correct.
So take that. Now, about Wilson Contreras. One of our popular conversations that Cap and I have is about Wilson Contreras. Somehow, some way, out of our Bears discussion, our Bulls discussion, you and I and Wilson Contreras always have a divide. because I said at the beginning of the season, Cap, I said, you know what? This team's not going anywhere. Do right by Wilson. Put him on a playoff team. You get to the trade deadline, he's still here. Like, what's he here for? And I said, when the Cubs are good, he won't be on the team. We were sitting here, breaking news, Yan Gomes signs with the Cubs. I said, well, that's it for Wilson. You don't bring a veteran receiver in there, a veteran catcher. You don't need to do that. But, Cap, he's still here. And you saw the quote from Maddie Lee in her piece from the Sun-Times, right?
Yep.
What do you think of that? He says, I want to be wanted.
And he doesn't feel wanted here because they have not made an offer. Hold on. I want to pull that article up from my friend Maddie Lee.
I think it's right by the obituaries. There.
No, that's the
keep flipping. Okay.
I can't find it.
That's right there.
There it is.
It's right by the comics.
Yeah. He dangles hope he'll remain a Cub, but reality says this is likely his last stand at Wrigley. Look, I am a huge Wilson Contreras guy because I got to know the man. He's an awesome, awesome dude. If the Cubs don't want him, they will offer him a qualifying offer. He will reject said qualifying offer, I would think.
Yes.
And someone else will sign him and pay him handsomely, whatever that amount is. I hope he finds somewhere that he's appreciated, happy, and goes on to a great finish to his career. That all said, I still cannot believe that that's all you're going to get is a draft pick for a three-time All-Star. And I know everyone over there has said to me, dude, the market wasn't there for him. Then you waited too long to move him.
Don't believe that. That's BS. He was hot by the time he got to the All-Star game. He was hot. Someone would have wanted him in the playoffs. He should be playing in the playoffs right now. But the way the Cubs mismanaged this whole thing, dangling him and Ian Happ out there, crying in the dugout, waving goodbye to the Cub fan, and he's still here? That's a bad job by Jed. 100%.
I would love to sit down with Jed and go, if you had traded him last fall before the lockout, and I know the lockout complicated things, you couldn't do any business. You're telling me you couldn't have traded him with a year and a half left of control rather than 3 months and gotten something better than a compensation pick? I don't believe that. You knew going into this year you weren't going to compete. You knew that. Just by your actions, you knew it's a rebuild. Schwindel at first, Wisdom at third, and Drouton Simmons at short. That's what this team was.
Yes, it was.
Now, at the end of the year, here's a stat that fans are not going to believe. Since the All-Star break, the best pitching rotation ERA-wise is the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Not a shock. Number two is the Astros. Not a shock. Number three is the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching has quietly become a strength of this organization, and they got a lot of young kids coming. That said, they need more talent on the field every day. You're telling me you don't have room for a guy that hits like this? Really?
You still want him on the ball club when this team flips again?
Yes, I would sign him.
Okay.
Unless there's something going on that I don't know, and you're pretty tapped in over there.
Yeah.
I know he's intense and he's passionate, and maybe he gets a little, you know, over the top at times. That dude can play, and I know the guy. He's a good person. I don't know.
Unless you have a catcher in the pipeline, that guy should be behind the plate. If at worst, DH, because you like his bat.
You're telling me that, okay, let's go with the assumption they like to throw to Yan Gomes better. Mm-hmm. We can't catch all 162.
That's correct.
So I can't have Wilson as my DH and backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And let Yan Gomes catch 100 and Wilson catches the other 62 and then plays DH. It keeps him fresh. It keeps Gomes fresh.
I see your point. Your point is that if you're going to trade him and you only get a draft pick compensation, then that's a waste. You'd rather just sign him because at least you got the asset instead of getting much of nothing for him in a trade.
If you get a compensation pick, let's assume it's a college player.
Yeah.
He's at least 3 years away.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's a high school player, he's 4 to 5 years away.
You'd rather have the asset now.
Yes.
And yeah, I understand.
I'm trying to at least be competitive next year in the division. That division's not unwinnable if you spend some money.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 24 team will be markedly better than 23. But if you go out and sign Correa, Turner, Bogarts, one of them.
Judge.
I would kill for that. I can't believe the Yankees aren't going to keep him. Judge. They'll figure that out. They're the Yankees. He's not. I can't believe he'll leave.
Okay.
And then go sign a top-level starting pitcher, whoever that is, Rodon or somebody. You're telling me that team can't be competitive? I disagree.
This will be a great. It should be. Let me just stop and just say, this should be a very interesting hot stove league for us.
Yes, there's no lockouts. It'll be action packed.
Both sides of town, though. If 35th and Vec doesn't have the same movement that the Cubs have, we're gonna have a problem.
There's going to be a deal that gets done, and we're gonna be like, the Sox traded who?
Do it.
I truly believe that.
Do it. Coming up,
and then the Cubs better be active.
It's National Blank Day. We'll fill in that blank for you coming up next on Cap and J Hood. Listen. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Bears and the way they run their offense. Is it sustainable? We'll talk about it at 9 right here on ESPN 1000. Cap, today is National Beer Day. National Beer Day. So tell me, Shay, we'll start with you. Your first beer that you had as a kid, your first beer was?
I was probably 15 years old. Me and my buddy raided his parents' basement fridge and got, I don't even know if they make them anymore, Bud Light Limes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 4.5% or something. They're not strong. They're kind of meant for like the cookout flavors, nice. I had one of them, and I remember being like 14 or 15. I'm like, ooh, I really feel this.
Bud Light Lime, $10.99 for a 12-pack of 12-ounce bottles at the Jewel.
Look at that. I might have to get some. That's the first beer.
Bottom of the shelf, by the way. That's where you can put bottom of the shelf.
Correct.
Got to dust it off.
My brother and I were at an event. My dad had some guys that he was doing business with, and they had a party down on Halsted Street.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad, my brother and I went. We were like 14, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce and I were, I think, 3 cans in when we got caught of Busch beer.
Yes. The cheap stuff.
Yes.
Busch was a staple when I was in my teenage years.
It should be now, as an adult, as a matter of fact. Charlie, what is your first beer you had?
So, yeah, my dad was really into, like, microbrews. And I remember I was, like, 16, and I tried one of his, like, really heavy, weird microbrews, and it tasted so terrible. And I was like, well, this sucks. But then I had like a Miller Lite a few years later. I was like, this is a little better.
I told you, Cap, that in the Hood household when I was a kid, it was always busy. Cousins, uncles, they were all there. There was a party at the Hood house every Friday and Saturday night. Friday night, and then, of course, they'd sleep over on the couches, and my mom would make breakfast for everybody, just big breakfast for 8 or 10 people because they were drunk from the night before. And so they'd go home, shower, come back Saturday night, and have be another party. And so
always at your house?
Yes, all the time. Friday and Saturdays. There would be a party every Friday and Saturday.
So Bob said to May, come rest on. In peace.
Yeah.
We need to get more pancakes and bacon.
Eggs? Yes.
Yeah.
May, toast. May, I'll take 6 eggs and some salt pork, a side of bacon, and 4 pieces of toast. You'll have what? I'll have what I give you. That's what that was. Like, sorry. that's what Walt would say, Uncle Walt. But nonetheless, you know, because you have a party and everyone's passed out, there's always be like beer tipped over or an open can. So little Jonathan Hood at age 8, so this would be 1980, right? Took a sip of Milwaukee's Best. Oh, God.
That was my first 40. It was a Milwaukee's Best.
This is horrible. Any old Forester around there?
No question. Listen, nothing less than 120 proof. Are you kidding me? Anything that had old on it, old Fitzgerald, old Forester.
Old Tub. Isn't there one? That's what my brother liked, and I think Carm said that's a good one.
Old Taylor. Anything that was old, it was 110, 120 proof, it was drank.
What about Steel Reserve? In college, we used to get Steel Reserves and drink those.
So that's old Milwaukee was there. Milwaukee's Best, and a little Löwenbräu because tonight was kind of special. The beer was cold.
Tonight.
You want to step into the mind of a 19-year-old Charlie? I would have like a Miller High Life, and I would like add Fireball to it.
Champagne of beers there.
I still if they have
that was a tough time.
I still get one. If they have it, I'll drink it.
Fireball or Miller?
Yes.
Nice.
We'll talk Bears in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.
Tonight's the night. Let it be low and brown.